Hey, this is Max from the Arkells, and you're listening to Underground Sports Philadelphia.
Everybody, we are live with Underground Sports Philadelphia, episode number 107. Kyle Bennett, Matt Castorina, Dylan Mazzola, right here in Underground Studios. Show presented to you, as always, by Main Auto LLC, Hoffman Farms and Greenhouses, Ducharme's Pro Foot, Security 21, Wainwright Bernhardt Funeral Home, and Paul J. Gillespie Incorporated. What's going on, guys?
We're here.
Little this, little that.
Sixers Saturday, a nice little all-star weekend. Got some quotes from around the league coming out, too, from the likes of Anthony Davis and some laughable quotes from Nikola Jokic. But Ben Simmons played in the USA versus World game last night, and kind of just a mid-season recap in a sense, too, now that we're at the break, the trade deadline's done. What are you guys' thoughts so far on how they've kind of just come together now as a team?
Slapped the Knicks up, which was good, which is what we needed. Close game overall, closer than you probably would have liked until like late fourth quarter, but it's all good. I think we remember better than most teams that when you're tanking, you can still play the good teams really close, just based off of energy and effort pretty much alone. We went, I think, 8-6 over this like brutal schedule that we were on, where we were playing all playoff contenders, and I think again we said 500 or just north of it would be a good run, and I also don't think we anticipated adding Tobias Harris for like the kind of final quarter of that run, but that's what we did, and I think it's safe to say we look a better team with Tobias on it. We're 3-1 with him. Obviously, that loss against the Celtics still stings. But, I mean, you look at the games that we've played. We've had to play some decent-level competition, you know, since he's arrived. And I think that's it's positive that we've been able to win, you know, those games like that. But mid-season now, I mean, you're talking the Heat really turns up after the All-Star break. I think the biggest goal has to be pushing to the 3 seed. Team like the Pacers, who have been they're on like a 6-game win streak now, I think. So hopefully they cool down a little bit after the All-Star break. That's the team that we have to be chasing, and I believe we still have one more game against them. We do, like the second week of March, there, right around March Madness, actually. So yeah, I mean, that's the goal, because I think we all know now that the Celtics in a first round series would be butthole clenching, to say the least, because I don't trust us to beat the Celtics in a 7-game series. I would much rather get the 3 seed, because then we'd have to play probably most likely the Raptors, who are gonna more than likely finish at the 2, and I'd trust us to get through the Raptors more than the Celtics right now. I think I'd rather I trust the Celtics the least. Mm-hmm. I'd rather face the Bucks as
they
well.
They have our number.
They really do, and I think it's naive to say that they don't. And there are still people that are saying, "Oh, well, you know, if this thing goes that way, and if we just, you know, make our shots, if we just made our shots, we'd win every game." You know,
yeah. That's true. The biggest argument, like going against people who were saying like they're not worried about the Celtics, is that like when we played them just recently, like half the players that played were just recently acquired, so the whole chemistry thing, which I guess to a point can be made, but I still would say the Celtics definitely have our number. I mean, Al Horford usually shuts down Joel Embiid and amongst other players in the Celtics, so I don't know.
I think the biggest thing against that argument, though, is that they had no Kyrie Irving.
I was going to say,
they were slumping hard. They had just blown two huge leads in the fourth quarter over the weekend. Like they were
two like bad teams.
They were in about as bad of shape as you could be coming into that game. And we're at home.
Where we rarely lose.
Yeah.
It's just loud house. Man. Like, we had just destroyed the Lakers. The team that made a big comeback against them. I don't know. It's just...
I also think the Celtics play better without Kyrie.
I disagree. I think they're a much better team with Kyrie. I just think the biggest issue is that Joel gets neutered by Horford, and
it's Ben. In his head, man.
Ben is just defended very well by how switchable they are, and that they have guys that are, you know, they don't match him athletically, but they can at least slow him down. And, you know, we know his issues with any type of jump shooting, but can't be playing Boban against the Celtics. That much is clear. Gonna have to see what happens with the buyout. Still, we haven't really had much luck in that department, so we'll see what happens with that. I don't know. I mean, the last part of the season is coming up now. Now is when the games start to really get important, and you only got like 20-ish or so remaining. So it's all about getting the lineups and rotations right for playoffs. And gonna have to tinker. I think Brett Brown is gonna have to tinker a little bit with the Tobias Harris experiment and how Boban is gonna work. And ideally, get a center that's a little more mobile than him, or just start playing Jonah Bolden in bigger situations. But I don't know. We're in a good spot still, I think. I think this is still the most talented roster in the East, you know, 1 through 5. Mm-hmm. And I think we did add some pretty good depth that's going to help us get over the line, but still some work to do. And that's really all it comes down to. But I trust us to be able to get into the 3 seed. I think the Pacers have a good chance of falling off in this final stretch here and, you know, get into the playoffs.
Plus, make our a schedule run gets easier.
No. Yeah, we have still a little bit of a gauntlet coming out of the All-Star break. We got the Heat, the Trailblazers, the Anthony Davis-less Pelicans, Thunder, and the Warriors. And then I'll actually be at the Magic game, which is nice. Fultz's homecoming. Magic are, like, red hot right now, so it's probably better that we're not playing for them a little bit. But, yeah, from there on out, I mean, playing quite a few teams that are tanking, fringe playoff teams, you know, we'll be in, I think we'll be in good shape at the end of the season. We play the Bulls twice in, like, the final weeks, like, yeah, we'll...
The Hawks.
Well, it's not as easy as I think our run-in was last year. Mm-hmm. I don't exactly anticipate a 16-game win streak again, but, you know, we can certainly knock up the wins here, 100%. And that Pacers game, March 10th, and then we get another shot at the Celtics on March 20th.
So how many games are left in the season total?
Right now, we have 23 games left.
So how many would you like to see them win realistically? Like,
out of these remaining, 17? I think 16 or 17 should be the benchmark, especially considering it is a little bit of a lighter schedule. 16 or 17 should be where we end up at, which would put us, I believe, we're at 37 wins now. So you're talking 53 wins, right about where we were last year. I'm cool with that.
Not too shabby?
No, not at all. And I think that should be good enough for the third seed. I was last year, so.
Hope we get it.
Ben Simmons in that USA versus World game last night. Showing out for the Sixers. I didn't really get to catch much of it.
Neither did I.
Sure how Ben
performed. He had 28 points.
I know, according to his Instagram post, he had a very nice dunk, and he was wondering if he could play again next year. So.
So shout out to Ben for doing his thing. He'll be a reserve in the All-Star game as well. And then some of the fun quotes that came out this morning is that Anthony Davis talking about his reported list, and somebody asked him about the Celtics not being on that list, and he said, they were never not on my list. So more Anthony Davis drama.
Ooh.
Yeah, I mean, that drama really spiced up these past few days. Dell Demps gets fired, who was the GM of the Pelicans, and Alvin Gentry had some spicy words. Anthony Davis got a shoulder injury, and I say that with my eyes rolling and heavy air quotes, and actually left the game, left the arena completely, which the owner, who's also the owner of the Saints, the wife of, was it Bill Benson or Ben?
Tom Benson.
Tom Benson, who passed away this year. She was, like, very upset because now she's, like, the owner. She's the one in charge. She was very, apparently very upset about how he left the arena and kind of want to just wash their hands clean. and screw the Lakers as much as they can, which is probably why Anthony Davis is saying that he's fine with going to Boston, because the Pelicans, it seems, under no circumstances want to move him to the Lakers. But I do think Dell Demps got caught in the crossfire of they probably wanted this just to be dealt with and done, and that the Lakers offer, although I don't think it was great, was they were like they would have just absolutely neutered the entire Lakers roster with that and had quite a few picks. I don't know if they'll get something similar from Boston. I think they're after Jason Tatum, but is Danny Ainge really going to offer that up? You know, I guess we'll find out in a few months. But yeah, I think he just got caught in the we wanted this dealt with, and now it's going to be even more drama for the rest of the season. The NBA threatening to fine them if Anthony Davis doesn't play. It's a whole mess, and you know, he Anthony Davis comes out looking pretty bad and ugly out of all of this.
Mm-hmm. So don't they all these clutch sports guys, except for Ben.
Yeah, I mean it. Like I go back and forth with like the clutch sport like tentacles all across the NBA, but. Yeah, I think it's generally seen as not good, even if we don't know the actual, like, truth and what's really going on. But you can, like, paint a picture that as soon as Anthony Davis signed with Clutch Sports, everyone was like, oh, here he goes. He's going to Lakers. And I don't think that's good for the game. And I think that's it. It's an interesting discussion. Chris Bosh was actually on the Bill Simmons podcast, and they talked, not at length, but they talked a pretty good amount about, like, the culture around the NBA right now and how it's like AAU, where it's just guys just, oh, I want to play with them, so I'm just going to make that happen because I have the power. And, you know, like we've talked about on this podcast too, that every year now, and it's sort of exponentially increasing, you're getting all-star guys demanding trades or just getting moved, you know, like with Porzingis, who also may have demanded a trade. I mean, it's becoming more and more common. Like, it really used to not be like this. We've had, just this season alone, the Jimmy trade, the Porzingis trade, Anthony Davis demanding a trade, Tobias Harris, like a fringe all-star kind of thing, you know, Paul George last year, like Kawhi in the summer. There's all types of guys that...
Kyrie
I mean, the year even before.
Even though he hasn't lived up to potential, Markelle Fultz, still number one overall pick, moved. So there's guys being moved.
Yeah, yeah, that's true too. But I was talking more like established.
Yeah, no, yeah.
God bless Fultz, dude. Bum.
Jackass.
It's kind of interesting though, because you don't really see that happen in other sports as often. It does happen, but just not as commonplace.
It's just, I think the NBA, they just have the NBA is, you know, each player is so recognizable and has their own brand and are so important to teams too. I don't think in any other sport you can have one player make such an impact like you can in the NBA, because there's five guys on the court, you know, and your max roster is 15. That's, you know, like most other sports, that's like just that's a little over what you field at a time.
Starting
you know?
Lineup
at yeah.
the NFL.
But I think the NBA is used to it because it's happening so much. You're seeing it in the NFL right now. Like Antonio Brown notably wants to move, and people are kind of like going crazy over it. Like they're not sure how
they
to
react
it.
Very negatively to that too. Like you look at the Le'Veon Bell stuff this year, where people are they want to like murder him because he's doing what he believes to be right for his career and for, it should be said, the careers of other NFL players. Like it's not just I want more money, I want to set a precedent. I mean, we clown Kirk Cousins for what he did.
He secured his bag, and
but he got guaranteed money, which is how it should definitely be. I think it's
especially in the NFL with
the way they made $14 billion last year. Like I don't know.
Ridiculous.
I just think NBA players have a lot of power. Both, I think, from an entertainment value and the fact that they have their own, you know, social media followings and brand deals, just from the fact that their talent level, they can make any team an automatic contender. If you get a Paul George, you're an automatic contender. If you get a Kawhi, a LeBron James, Anthony Davis, those guys make you automatic contenders for, you know, the biggest prize. And they want to go to teams and places and cities where they're going to be able to win and also make more money off the court.
Yeah, definitely do a good job marketing in terms of the NBA compared to other sports. I mean, an NHL player could walk by you, and unless you know the player, like, is on your team, I guarantee you will not recognize
Doesn't
the
help that
player.
They wear helmets either.
Well,
and that they're not all, like, 6'9 gangly freaks.
You get what I'm saying. Yeah, you can even look at baseball. Like, the biggest star, Mike Trout, isn't as noticeable as he should be.
Yeah.
So
no, you're totally right. And again, I just think the NBA has captured the social media age better than anyone has. I think another thing that no one talks about the NBA is they let people post highlights. Like the like other sports will take down and DMCA claim, like if you post like compilations and highlight videos, like the NBA is like, yeah, just do it. Like, I don't care.
Yeah,
and these things get millions of views. You know, you look at the highlight, the I watch ones. I subscribe to MLG Highlights on YouTube, and every morning they take the highlights, they take the press conference stuff.
You got House of Highlights.
House of, like,
yeah, it's true.
It's like I think that's very underrated thing that you get literally hundreds of thousands, if not a million, of views on these highlights that people may not otherwise get. And yeah, it just, again, I don't think that alone, but I think it's just all part of the
no, it helps.
The infinity gauntlet, if you will, for why the NBA is able to
market themselves.
Yeah, and just kind of have, they have, let's be honest, the NBA, I think, has a chokehold on how sports entertainment is, and I think most watchable, even with the Warriors as dominant as they are, people still watch the NBA.
Yeah,
and
for sure.
Because it's kind of like a video game, in a sense, with the Warriors. It's like, okay, these teams are going to kind of just go to war for the entire season, and then you know what the boss level is going to be, and it's like, let's try to take down the big boss.
I mean, I watched them play the Trailblazers, and that was quite a game. Mm-hmm. Steve Kerr, he almost murdered a referee, which was amazing. He was very close. He got a $25,000 fine, and it was well-earned because he was going at him. So the Warriors, I mean, I've always thought that this is the last year that the Warriors would be, quote-unquote, like, untouchable. Mm-hmm. And even then, I mean, I think people forget already that they were one game away and one Chris Paul injury away from not even making the finals last year. But I think this is last year, just because they will lose Durant. Klay Thompson has not played well this year either. He had a terrible night against Portland. You know, I just think that team starts to lose players like that, and you know, we'll see what happens with the Warriors.
And Draymond's not Draymond of 3 years ago.
No, and you're going to see a little bit of a reshuffle, I think, in the NBA this summer, especially because you'll still have the Anthony Davis trade. Kevin Durant is going somewhere.
Kyrie's going somewhere.
I very much doubt that Kevin Durant is going to be a Warrior. Kyrie maybe still be in Boston. I don't know, but I would honestly bet on Kevin Durant being somewhere else this time next year. But it's all kicking up. It's all entertaining. We all love it. It's a sport that doesn't make you feel bad about watching it like it does the NFL. One problem I had was like, what's that new football league they have now? AAF.
Alliance of American Football.
They had that hit, like everyone saw the hit that was on you. I don't even know who was playing. I think it was San Antonio or something. And everyone was like, yeah, they don't allow this in the NFL. Yeah, because that dude probably just got like 5 years off his lifespan. Like he just forgot the second grade with that hit. That's why that's not allowed. Like, dude, that's a person getting ragdolled. Yeah. Like, I get that it's entertaining, but like, part of me is like, that just, like, I don't know. It's just, that just looks awful. And
I saw that Christian Hackenberg was the quarterback of one of the teams, and I was like, this is enough to turn the TV on.
Exactly. Like, but besides the talent level, it's like, I don't know. With everything we know about concussions and mental health and how that's all linked now in CTE, I don't know how you can, A, look at hits like that and be like, oh, that's great. Like, that's football. And B, still support a league that openly lied and held information from its players that led to them dying early and having dementia and killing themselves.
Yeah, the NFL and NHL are terrible with head injuries.
Yeah, it's just like, I don't know, from a moral and ethical standpoint, that's really shitty. I don't know.
Yeah,
like,
I think it's hard.
It's hard to be enthused about a sport that kills its players.
There was a guy like 2 weeks ago, I want to say it was for the Ducks. Nonetheless, it was a player in the NHL, and he got destroyed. Like, his head went into the boards, and you could clearly tell he was concussed, if not worse. And they came out, and they were like, yeah, he'll be back in, like, a game or two. And I'm like, what? You just...
Yeah.
I don't get it.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's, again, another reason the NBA, though, is that very clear. Not that the NBA, I'm sure, does have its issues with concussions at times, but I don't think it's quite on the level that the NFL is and some other sports. NHL, I think, is also pretty bad at protecting its players and making sure that they have the rule too, where like when they announce injuries, they only have to say if it's like, oh, it's a lower body injury.
I hate that. You have no idea. That irks me.
It's a lower body injury. Oh, it's either, you know, he like, you know, bruised his foot, or he may lose his leg.
People defend that, dude. People will go online and like, I'll even hear certain like people on TV say like, oh, well, it's protecting the player. I'm like, if you hurt yourself, let's say you tear a muscle in your leg, and if someone targets you for that, they're a terrible human being. They shouldn't be playing the sport to begin with. So why shouldn't you be able to say, "Oh, Matt Castorina tore his ACL," not like, "Oh, lower body injury." We'll tell you eight years.
I think
now.
Also though, like it hurts the player in a way because it's like you don't know what that player's dealing with now. You have no idea like what a lower body injury means. So if they come out and they're quote unquote healthy, but they're actually playing through a torn MCL, you know, like. And they play like shit for the rest of the season, everyone's going to get on that player. And then it comes out in, you know, June, oh yeah, I was playing with a broken leg.
Most notably Wayne Simmons after last year, like saying, oh yeah, my like thumb was dislocated, I was playing with partially torn this, my bone was broken.
I mean, I get that in like sports, you're going to like just deal with injuries. And if you sat out every time you had an injury.
Well, it's job security.
Yeah, that too. But, you know, I don't know. I think it's.
I'm a huge proponent for like. If you can play and you feel and you get an opinion by a medical professional that's not really going to hurt you, then tough through it. But if there's anything that can harm the rest of your career, I know it sucks. You have to swallow your pride and not play because there are we could sit here for 10 hours, if not more, and list athletes whose careers have ended way too short because they didn't deal with injuries properly.
Yeah.
Or just unlucky and got injury prone.
Speaking of injuries... Former Sixer that got traded, thank heavens, Markelle Fultz, trying to talk a little smack about the Sixers coaching staff since we last recorded a podcast.
I'll say the quote didn't really like fit with what he said, though. The video was a lot less like taking a shot at the Sixers. It was just him like talking about Steve Clifford and how he felt he had faith in him. I don't care. I honestly couldn't care less about Markelle Fultz at this point. Nope. He's a bust. I can say that freely and openly now. Good luck with the Magic. We know he won't be successful there. The only way he'll be successful is if they trade him away. That's when you get worried about Fultz maybe becoming a star. But as long as he's in Orlando, he'll never be good. Orlando's never going to be good. I don't know. I think he's immature. And it's pretty much done for him.
I wouldn't be surprised if he's
out of the league. Yeah, I mean, at this point, I'm just happy my hands to be washed of him and that he's not our problem anymore. That's it.
I know it's a late first-round pick. We've got a first-round pick and a second-round pick for him, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the first-round pick is actually one that we had traded away previously, heavily protected. I think it's like 1 through 20, but we'll still probably convey because it's the Thunder's pick and they'll be contender.
I mean, it's something for nothing in my mind.
The biggest thing was just getting off the cap space.
Yeah.
And... goodbye, Markelle Fultz. Let's never mention him on this podcast again, right. Except in 2 years when he's playing in Europe.
That and when we're laughing at him when you're at the Magic game.
Hey, if he even goes, he's probably too much of a coward to show up.
Yeah, he's probably afraid.
Although I would not boo him, but I wouldn't applaud him either. But I would not boo Markelle Fultz because I don't necessarily think.
Golf clap?
No, I wouldn't do anything. I would just sit there destitute. but he's not playing anyway, and. You know, my opinion is still that Markelle Fultz, I think, was mostly ruined by the entourage around him. Not necessarily that he himself is like a terrible person or has ever really.
Yeah, but until he separates himself from the entourage.
Yeah, well, the problem is this is family, you know, and we've seen that before with players' families getting too involved, literally with the Sixers. So.
Yeah, look no farther than LA if you want to see someone's family get involved.
Yeah, I mean, we had Jahlil Okafor. His dad was a big issue for us as well.
Gotta love it. I'll never forget my Jahlil Okafor dad experience that I had. I actually met Jahlil Okafor's dad.
Really?
He was at Made in America in like 2015.
Oh, man.
That's crazy.
And he was like trying to record the crowd and everything for some TV series he was trying to launch about Jahlil. And like it was going to be something with the city and it never came to fruition. They were all at Made in America with Jahlil Okafor Phillies jerseys on. Like it was hilarious.
Man, how time flies.
Gotta love it.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Fun little all-star quote, too, is Nikola Jokic was asked what he'd get Michael Jordan for his birthday tomorrow. He said, a horse or one of my goats.
Love him. Great guy.
Gotta love it.
I think Ben said that he, something along the lines of every time he steps on the court, he likes representing Australia and Philadelphia, so... more positive about him not leaving us for LA.
Yeah, he had yellow and green shoes last night as well for the Australia. Good for Ben. Love him. Love my little Australian boo.
Chuck Fletcher wanted to get in on all the trades last night. Well, dude, or this morning, I should say. Because
what's with the midnight trades?
At midnight, Chuck Fletcher sent Anthony Stolarz to Edmonton in exchange for Cam Talbot. That's why Dylan's mostly here, because he needed to voice his opinion on this one, because we know Cam Talbot's been linked to the Flyers for like two, ever? 3 weeks now, at least.
He was linked before, like I think a year or two ago as well. He's been loosely rumored around the Flyers.
But it's been like heavily picking up the past like two or three weeks.
They've been talking for a while, too.
And it gets done, so Stolarz goes to Edmonton. Cam Talbot is now your backup.
I mean, we talked about it in text, like it's kind of one of those trades where you're like meh, and like it's not McDavid.
I just think it's funny how so many people were like up in arms about it.
I saw on Twitter, and I think I want to delete Flyers Twitter if it's possible, people were like saying this is gonna be like Bobrovsky all over again, and I'm like, boy, Stolarz has played 18-19 games for the Flyers, and half of them have been very underwhelming and half of them have been good, and a couple, you know, it's just
he's like the Nick Foles of the Flyers.
That's what I'm saying. Like, he hasn't proven anything. He's proven he can play at this level, but he hasn't sustained his play at this level. So you're trading away a 25, soon to be 26-year-old guy who projects to be a career backup fringe starter, so he'll fit in perfectly with Edmonton. Shots fired. No, I'm kidding.
Ooh.
But nah, I probably just jinxed us. I'll probably win like two Vezinas now. But anyway, so you get back a guy who has played more games. I think Cam Talbot's played like 284 career games to Stolarz's 19 games. So I think the Flyers wanted somebody with more experience. Obviously, they're still trying to do some crazy run, which I don't think is going to happen. If it does, it's cool. If it doesn't, they're still playing better. Carter Hart is their future, so either way, I'm happy. But back to the trade. It's literally just backup goalie for backup goalie. One's older, one's younger. One's more experienced, one's not.
And it was like helping Edmonton clear cap space.
That's where I'm a little pissed, I'll be honest, because we did help them clear cap space because they have a defenseman by the name of Andre Sequeira, who was on I think he's still on long-term injury reserve. Yeah, he is. But he's coming back. He's on conditioning right now for their minor league team, which I don't know the name of. I think he's played like two or three games, so he'll be back soon.
Yeah, they said he's supposed to be activated like this week, from what I saw.
He's actually played pretty well, apparently, too. I've been looking at it. I'm not mad, because the Hextall era of accumulating massive amount of picks and prospects is not over, but it's not like our sole focus. But with that being said, you did help a team technically clear cap, even though both these goalies are free agents at the end of next year. So we did kind of do them a favor in helping them allow like clearing cap so they can call up a player. So with that being said, I thought maybe a pick or a prospect is coming back, but I think a lot of fans overvalued Stolarz, and there was a prospect on the Oilers, Jesse Pivari. He's like fourth round pick 2 years ago, or fourth overall pick, I'm sorry, like 2 years ago, and he's kind of fallen off the graces. He's 20 years old, same age as Patrick. People thought we were going to get him back, and I was kind of like, huh? You don't trade a fourth overall pick, even if he might be a bust, for a backup goalie. Mm-hmm. So, but I did think like a lower tier prospect would come back or a pick. But with that being said, I'm not that mad. I'm just a little confused as to why nothing came back. But at the end of the day, if Carter Hart looks up to Cam Talbot, and if they're friends, and if they train together, then I'm not mad, because I want to keep the guy who's going to be my starting goalie for the next 15 years happy. So
yeah, and look at it this way, like. Like you said, Anthony Stolarz, fringe starter. He's still young, so like that helps Edmonton too. But like, you can't develop Carter Hart and Anthony Stolarz at the same time. Like one guy's going to be sitting, one guy's going to be playing. You can't develop two young goalies at the same time like that.
No, yeah, Carter Hart is the guy. So exactly. So if you keep Stolarz, you're developing him to be a backup. Like there's no ceiling.
Cam Talbot knows how to be a backup because he used to back up Lundqvist in New York.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, people overlook that. That's a very good goalie to be behind and mentored by.
Mm-hmm. So, like, one, he knows how to be the backup goalie. Two, that's where he got his upbringing in the league, behind one of the best to ever do it. So that's a big bonus. And, like you said, keep Carter Hart happy at all costs. You know, we give Carter Hart his buddy. We gave Aaron Nola money this week to keep him happy.
Yeah.
We gave Carson Wentz Jesus and his food trucks. And
we're just keeping our boys happy.
And we gave Tobias Boban. So.
Yeah, I mean, and if you want to look at it, like, the aspect of, like, bigger market cities and, like, more pressure, Cam Talbot has gone from playing to the Rangers, which is New York, not an easy market, to Edmonton, which their crazy fan base. I mean, when you have Wayne Gretzky play for you for how many years, you know, rightfully so. And now he's in Philly, which, as we know, Flyers fans are not easygoing people, exactly. Which I love. So,
But I'm cool with the trade, right? And I think it was something that was gonna get done one way or another. I think, and
yeah,
now it's done and over with. And
no, I'm cool with it.
I'm cool with it.
I mean, he's a pretty cool guy. He's nice. I mean, he had to waive a partial no-move clause to come here, so he obviously definitely wanted to come here. I mean, then again, his last two seasons in Edmonton were rough, so he probably wants to get
a new start. And granted, Edmonton has not been the best team.
Yeah, their defense is worse than ours, which something that you can't say about many teams. I mean, their team basically is Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl, and then
Oscar Klefbom.
Cricket.
But yeah, I mean, it's one of those like mid-tier moves that doesn't really swing you one way or another,
yeah.
And it'll be fine. I'm gonna miss dying on my hill for Anthony Stolarz as the backup.
But I texted you just, like last night. At the same time, people who like him, like you and
exactly.
I, should be happy because he has an opportunity to go showcase make himself. A name for himself. Exactly. I mean, like, don't play too good, those Starlets, you know? I don't want you to do like a bob on us and turn into like the super awesome goalie. No, I'm kidding. But I mean, if he plays well, he plays well. You win and you lose trades. We just talked about Fultz a couple minutes ago, so don't want to bring him up. I know you don't like him, but he could maybe eventually develop
Snoop Dogg
into an okay player. Who knows? But point is, it's okay. All right, gotcha. It's a business.
I will eat a piece of chalk. If Fultz ever becomes an all-star in the NBA, you can write that down.
It's a business. Stuff happens. I'm looking at Cam Talbot's stats, and like I said, 2 years ago, the 16-17 season, he went 42-22 for wins-loss and had a 2.38 goals against and a .919 save percentage. So that was awesome. And then when he was backing up Lundqvist, his numbers were really good too. He's kind of dipped down the last 2 years. Last year wasn't as bad. His goals against was high. It was 3.02. And his save percentage was above 900. This year it's kind of bad. He's below 900 per save, .893. And his goals against is 3.36. But, you know, it kind of fits in with the Flyers until Carter Hart showed up. And I believe in career turnarounds for guys. It happens all the time. So we'll see. I mean, it's a low-risk move. I was telling Kyle and Matt, if he sucks, like, really bad, you just don't.
It's like Peter Mrazek 2.0.
You just don't re-sign them. And you'd also let Elliott and Neuberth walk. Although I think they're going to try to trade Elliott at this rate. Yeah, because I think another team would... Well, I think a team would want, like a playoff team, might want a more established mm-hmm. backup goalie.
Put Neuberth in a rocket and send him to go get the Mars rover. That
I think he's just... I don't know what he's doing with his life, but he's somewhere in the facility. But yeah, so my point is you let those two walk, potentially Talbot if he sucks, and then you could re-sign or sign somebody else.
Yeah. Flyers play the Red Wings today at 1.
Should be a win. Should be a win. But I think the Red Wings just played the other night and beat the Oilers. So, interesting. I mean,
like we said, Edmonton's not good.
Yeah. Well, they are kind of contending for a playoff spot like us, but they're like in a similar state in terms of standings, but in terms of roster, they're not similar because, like I said, they're very top-heavy and it kind of falls off. But that's what happens when you have players like McDavid who get paid so much. Mm-hmm. It's kind of hard. You kind of see with the Blackhawks. I mean, they pay Kane and Taze both 10.5 apiece.
Worth it.
Well,
for the run they had?
Yeah.
Worth it.
Well, they weren't paid that for majority of the run, though.
They got paid because of that run.
Which I think is awesome in sports, but you also saw that with other players in the roster, which is why they're having a hard time.
You see it in other sports,
too. And also, it kills. I mean,
paying Marian Hossa wasn't a good idea.
My point is, it can either benefit or kill your team when you pay somebody based upon success.
I just think, like, personally, like, if you're asking, for really any Philly team, if it's like, if, like, 3 out of 5 years you're in contention and you're winning whatever the championship, but it means for like 5 to 7 years after, you're going to be average to below average. You'll be like, yeah, give me that sweet run.
Got it with the Phillies, and hopefully we get another one of those soon. But did you guys see the nice little hangout session that Jordan Mailata, Travis Konecny, and Oscar Lindblom and Trevor Baptiste had yesterday at Lincoln Financial
Field? TK looked super tiny.
He looked like a dwarf farmer.
I know they asked about if Jordan, like, if he could play hockey for them, like defense, and he was like, oh, I don't know what that does or how it goes, but yeah, I'll do it.
Wow.
So
it's like the Hobbit. Like,
look how tiny. I think Trevor's taller than him.
Yeah, he might be. But yeah, Jordan Mailata from the Eagles, obviously. Trevor Baptiste from the Wings, and then JVR, TK, and
Sanheim.
Sanheim were all hanging out, doing their thing.
JVR was rocking the Yeezys.
Yeah.
I peeped that.
The Jersey boys, JVR and Trevor. but yeah, you can check out all the team's social media websites.
Yeah, it's getting close to the stadium series. I'm still debating whether or not I want to buy a ticket. There's still a lot of tickets left, which kind of scares me. To an extent, like, I don't know how well it's going sales-wise, because if you look on any of the
I think sites, a lot of that's being affected by the weather.
Yeah.
It's supposed to snow next week, isn't it?
Right now,
not even that. I think because they sucked for so long, too. Like,
it's
like,
supposed to be, like, 47 degrees and, like, clear as of now, like today.
That's perfect.
But, and if it is that way, some of us will be out in the F1 lot with our friends at 4th and John because they're throwing a tailgate. So, come hang out. As long as that tailgate's still going on, obviously, but... it'll be interesting. I think the renovation's going well. A lot of people have been tweeting about it and tweeting pictures of how the link looks with the ice rink now.
I'm excited to see a hockey game.
It's going to be really cool.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of feel obligated to go just because I went to the one in Pittsburgh a couple years ago, so I got to kind of do the complete tour and go to both, although my wallet says no, but my heart says yes, so I don't know.
Yeah, so we'll see how that goes, but... Phillies, we got some spring training updates. Jake Arrieta, we talked about on Wednesday, Matt and I, about his knee injury, and how Gabe Kapler said that it happened during, you know, an off-season workout. Well, next day, Thursday, it comes out Jake Arrieta hurt his knee and tore his meniscus in June, and that's why he was
bad.
Absolute shit for the second half of the season.
Playing with one leg.
So that was interesting to hear, and the fact that Gabe Kapler had no idea was also
that kind of
quite interesting.
Yeah, interesting is
because now that's two major injuries on this Phillies team when you look at Jake Arrieta and then Cesar Hernandez, who played half a season with a broken foot.
Yeah.
Two big time injuries for this team that could have swayed the way that they finished.
Yeah. Big time injuries and big time like body parts for positions.
Yeah.
Like you're a pitcher, you need your legs, and if you're a player, you need your foot. You got to run. You got to field.
You got to field, and so that's kind of something that stuck out in my mind these past couple days, knowing that two major injuries kind of just went under the rug and not checked.
So it kind of makes you think, like you're saying, if they didn't get hurt and if they could sustain a little more success, and you know, due to some guys being new or their second year on the team, like. You know, they could have potentially held on to that playoff
spot
longer.
Jake Arrieta had a 3.23 first half ERA, and his second half ERA was above a 5.
I think quite a few of the other pitchers, though, fell off as well,
well
at the end of the year.
But you're expecting Jake Arrieta to be 2 behind Aaron Nola, who was a Cy Young.
And I think it doesn't help the younger pitchers like Pivetta, Vince, Eflin, and so forth. Yeah, I know. But like when you're like air quote leader, because Jake is the leader, he's very intense. When he... They didn't know he was injured. No one did. So he's falling off, and I think it. I'm not saying him playing the way he did affected them solely, but it doesn't help like the clubhouse. Like when your leader, your second guy is sucking.
Jake Arrieta also flexing on the gram this week with his Supreme life jacket.
He's always flexing with clothes, man.
He's always out there, man.
Very very nice style. I'll give him credit.
The fun little spring training updates we got is that nobody still knows about those two guys that are free agents that for Harper Lent we gave up talking about them. But Dylan sent me a tweet last night, and Matt and I went over the promotional schedule a couple weeks ago when that came out. And there is the American flag sleeve that they're like the arm compression sleeve that they're giving out to kids 14 and under. And then if you throw it back to the Home Run Derby,
I was gonna say Bryce Harper,
or the American flag compression sleeve. So
here I go again. I got my tin hat.
We had Sixers Info Wars, and now we got Phillies Info Wars in full swing because of these two guys. So that's always fun.
Yeah. Harper, please sign. I can't do much more cardio, bud.
I'm getting tired at the gym.
I'm gonna be riding that bike today.
So yeah, Harper Lent in full swing. Shout out to Jack Fritz. He got interviewed by NBC Sports Bay Area about Harper Lent.
He traveled literally across country.
So he's doing the most with that. But yeah, free agency is just getting stale at this point.
It just drags, and it affects, like, if you're like a bench player or like a middle tier or like a slightly below average player, it hurts your job.
Yeah.
Because teams are waiting to sign a player in the same position that's obviously better than you, but they won't give you a second look, or other teams, because they're waiting for the big fish to fall. I mean, granted, other big fish have fallen, but there still are some notable free agents besides these guys.
The top four free agents are still on the market.
Yeah.
It's stupid. Like, it's so dumb.
Number 34 from the Washington Nationals, Machado, Dallas Keuchel, and Craig Kimbrell are all still free agents.
I thought Keuchel signed somewhere.
No, he's still a free agent.
This is so, it's just so bad.
See, that's how bad it is. I thought he signed.
Like, we were upset when LeBron might have took, which he ended up not. Like, they thought it would be, like, after July 4th, which is, like, 4 days after free agency opens. You're, like, talking 4 months now.
Yeah. Like, this all started in November.
This is unbelievable.
Yeah,
truly.
I mean, like,
it feels like Patrick Corbin signed, like, 2 years ago.
It really does.
Hey, we all wanted him here, but I'm not mad at him, because I'll give him credit. He actually signed within a reasonable time of free agency. So, Patrick Corbin, I'm not mad, dude. You do you in the, you know, Nationals, but
yeah,
like everyone
you do
else.
You and Loose.
Yeah, exactly. But he made he decided in a reasonable amount of time. Like, it's just getting to the point where
it's just
ridiculous.
It's just ridiculous and stupid. It should not take this long. It's a farce. It's absolutely dumb.
And then I sent this in our group chat.
The collusion.
The nice little collusion.
Colin Kaepernick won his collusion case.
Yeah, we'll talk about that.
Didn't technically win. I guess he got a settlement.
But yeah, Brad Brack, who used to pitch for Baltimore, pitched for Atlanta after the trade deadline last year, on his free agency experience. We talked to certain teams, and they told us that, quote, "We have an algorithm, and here's where you fall. It's just kind of weird that all offers are the same. They come around the same time. Everybody tells you there's an algorithm." And on from going on from Baltimore to Atlanta, and now he's with the Cubs. Quote, "When you're losing so many games, it ends up kind of turning into a spring training format. I just never really excel in those roles. So coming here, knowing that you're expecting to win from day one, it's exciting." So that's a little bit on the Orioles rebuild kind of mood with those players. But Joe Giglio quote tweeted the initial read that I just did and said, "Save this one for the eventual strike when the players claim owners have
colluded." There's definitely a lockout amongst the coming.
Which is going to be great, and we've talked about it because that's Mike Trout's free agency year. So the best player in your sport is going to be a free agent, and you're going to have a lockout.
Not
going
to have the sport going on.
It's ridiculous, and it's bad for the sport, and it might be just one of those things where we need a lockout to happen, and, you know,
things change.
Pat Neshek came out and said some things, and I finally agree with something Pat Neshek says. You know, he thinks they just signed a bad CBA, and it's something that has to be addressed. And I'm going to see if I can pull that up, too, because it was interesting what he had to say.
So when are they going to get rid of Pat Neshek?
I think he actually is going to stay on the team. Not that I'm a fan of that, but I think he's going to be here just because of the contract he signed, unless they can find a trade partner.
Neshek for Bumgarner. Who says no?
The Giants.
Yeah, I know.
So this is what Pat Neshek had to say, and this was a couple days ago. So he said, "It's sad to see. It stinks." Pat Neshek told NBC Sports Philadelphia's John Clark, "They want to go cheaper." It's talking about the front offices. "I think we signed a bad CBA, personally. The CBA went through ahead of the 2017 season and runs through 2021. So the previous year, in the free agent period leading into 2016.
I'm sorry, Kyle. I can't match. Just show me what gritty tweet.
This is from November.
Oh.
Which, again, we just found out Claude is having a child. It said, "Is Gritty a fortune teller or a stalker?" I was going back through Gritty's tweets, and on November 9th, he tweeted this. 40 weeks from November 9th is mid-August. So Gritty knew. Gritty knew exactly what Claude was doing.
Jesus.
Oh, my God.
They really are best
pals.
This
is terrifying.
Wait, but what if Gritty's the father?
What if Gritty was there?
I don't know, man.
Oh, wow.
Continue. Oh, my God. That's fantastic. But, yeah, 2016, there were 13 players who signed contracts of at least $70 million. Looking back at those deals, 12 of them now look really bad. And those deals are, because there's a link to it, I believe, David Price signed a 7-year, $217 million contract. Granted, he turned it around last year. Zach Greinke signed his 6-year, $206.5 million contract.
That's my guy right there.
Jason Hayward signed his 8-year, $184 million contract.
That's a bad contract.
Baltimore Orioles' Chris Davis signed his 7-year, $161 million extension.
Dude, that's like the worst contract ever.
Justin Upton signed his 6-year, $132.75 million contract. Johnny Cueto signed his 6-year, $130 million contract. Jordan Zimmermann signed a 5-year, $110 million contract. Jeff Samardzija, 5 years, $90 million. Wei-Yin Chen, 5 years, $80 million. Mike Leake, 5 years, $80 million. Yoenis Cespedes, 3 years, $75 million. Alex Gordon, 4 years, $72 million. And Ian Kennedy, 5 years, $70 million.
Damn, Ian Kennedy got that much money.
He got paid.
It almost reminds me of the NBA a few years ago, 2016, when the cap jumped exponentially, and a lot of players got bad contracts. And people wonder now if teams are going to be a little more cautious about spending, and that seems sort of like what it is with baseball now, where teams, whether they're colluding,
and this,
who knows.
This article goes on to say there's 12 teams spending less than $100 million on their 40-man roster right now. That's the Rangers, an openly tanking team, the Tigers, who just got really bad because they had an old roster, the Twins, which they're just kind of a small market team, and they've kind of just built through the draft. The White Sox.
Still tanking, rebuilding, yeah.
Royals, they kind of just
fell apart.
Lost
guys, free agency.
The A's, they've always just been a low-spending team. Cheap. The Orioles, openly tanking.
No, yeah, they're tanking.
The Blue Jays, they're beginning to tank.
Just coming off a tank,
and
I guess.
A bunch of that money on their payroll is going to one guy, or two guys, I should say, Will Myers and Eric Hosmer. The Marlins, openly tanking. The Pirates kind of just got unlucky.
There.
And the Tampa Bay Rays, but the Rays are a good team, and they're just a small market team that can't afford to pay guys.
The Rays are, like, I think they're only paying, like, $40 million or something like that. It's crazy. It's something, like, really small, because they're a small market team, but it's intense.
Yeah. So
baseball's interesting.
Maybe the CBA in 2021 fixes that, but I just want free agency to be done because we're, you know, heading into spring training games this coming week.
That's what I'm saying. Like, that's why I don't get why it's the way it is, because, like, if you're a player, like me personally, putting myself in their shoes, I would want to establish myself as soon as I could to get with the team, to meet my new coaches, to meet my teammates, to get into training. Obviously, it's easier for like a hitter to sign late compared to a pitcher, like we saw with Arrieta and other pitchers. But
who didn't sign until St. Patrick's Day last year.
But still, like, I wouldn't want to sign like right when training starts or even into it. I would want to be with the team, be in good graces, and meet my teammates.
And move?
Yeah, and move, exactly.
Move
the human
potentially across the
it.
Country. Depending on, you know, where you're where you're coming from.
I
thought in January that they hadn't signed yet was ridiculous. And, you know, you said that it might, the tweets were that it might leak all the way into February. I was like, that's just stupid.
And now,
it's just getting more and more stupid.
And we saw the tweet early this week where it might go into mid-March.
Yeah, at this rate, like, whatever.
Maybe by August, these guys will, before, you know, they lock in the playoff deadline.
four months, it'll be on the verge. But yeah, it's just ridiculous. But overall, with actual baseball news, apparently, I know Matt loves a good competition at a roster spot. Apparently, Odubel Herrera is going to be in a competition for center field. He's going to have to earn his playing time just based off of, you know, how he performed last year and didn't really come in with a serious mindset. So
it's terrible that second half of the season too.
It all went downhill as soon as his on-base streak got ended on that fluky call.
Yeah.
And I think he just lost a ton of confidence in himself.
Who would the competition be? Roman Quinn?
Yeah.
Most notably? He impressed me last year.
Grease Lightning, bro. We got Grease Lightning and we got Grease. That dude is so fast.
I like Roman Quinn. I just think he's your stereotypical fourth outfielder on a team where he can come in, steal you a base late, be a nice little, you know, defensive jolt in center field. I just don't think he can start just because of his injury history. 140, 150 games. I like him a lot, though, and I think he will be the fourth outfielder. But this outfield is deep, so all these guys are going to have
to... Yeah, even without, you know, he should not be named.
Yeah, even without number 34. You have Andrew McCutchen, who you brought in. He's going to be your left fielder because you paid him to do that. You have Odubel Herrera, you have Roman Quinn, and then you have Nick Williams and you have Aaron Altair.
Yeah, and people were like roasting that move and like not even looking at his stats, his numbers. Signing Cutchin allows you to move Hoskins back to his natural position,
which helps your defense,
and that alone makes the signing worth it.
Yeah. I love the McCutchen signing, and he's a great clubhouse guy.
I think he's hit 20 home runs in every single season, right?
Close to it. I think he might have fallen short last year just because he got traded.
My point is, he's a guy who can come in and add some pop.
A lot
to
of people just are like, "Oh, he's not MVP Andrew McCutchen anymore. He's still a damn good player. Well, like he might not be Pittsburgh Pirates.
That's what happens when you get older. Not as good,
but he's still damn good. Yeah, every year since 2011.
He's had 20 home runs. He's a consistent hitter, and we're in a friendly ballpark. What do you know?
Yeah, he's gonna hit a lot better this year.
Yeah,
he talked about that when he got signed here, that he's looking forward to hitting at Citizens Bank Park.
Yeah, he could hit 30 home runs. Am I even being crazy with that?
One thing that kind of came out today too, I was listening to WIP on my way back from Wings practice, was Todd Zielecki, who's the Phillies beat writer for MLB.com. They talked to Gene Segura today because he still hasn't been introduced, but they can talk to him, I guess.
Whatever works, right?
They asked him because, I don't know if you guys remember, last year he got in a clubhouse like brawl with Gordon. D. Gordon.
Yeah.
And everybody's like, D. Gordon's like one of the nicest guys, even though he uses steroids, in the league. And everybody was like, oh, you know, what's the deal with Gene Segura? He's bounced around a lot in his career, you know, from the Angels to Milwaukee to Arizona to now Seattle and now to the Phillies. And Gene Segura was kind of like, you know, I'm not a fighter, that's not something I seek. And he kind of just likened it to when two brothers just like get pissed off at each other, and he was like, you know, it's done now and we'll see. I think that is something though that's interesting. I like the Gene Segura trade.
Yeah, I love it too.
But it is something that's interesting with him, that he's such a good player that he's bounced around as much as he has.
I did see, also, he said, like, if a man comes at me in a fight, I'm going to fight back, which I don't mind that aspect because, like, he's, you know, he appears to be tough, and that's something that most Philadelphia fans like in their athletes, and he can play multiple positions. He's a great baseball player, so hopefully he's here for a while.
I mean, our potential free agent signing notably blew up on Jonathan Papelbon in the dugout.
And he got a fight in San Francisco, too, like on Mother's Day.
I don't think it's... I think a lot of baseball players, you know, are prone to flying off the handle. Yeah. Like, there's, like, literally, like, a subgenre of compilations of dudes smashing their bats and the water coolers and...
throwing stuff.
Breaking it over their legs.
Saying some nice phrases.
Yeah, I wonder why baseball players are so quick to fly off the handle. If only there was like a substance that maybe makes you more prone to getting very aggressive quickly and not reacting very well to those situations. That's weird.
Riddle me that, Batman.
What a coincidence.
But yeah, and then the Wings have a home game tonight, finish up their four-game homestand against New England, a.k.a. the former Wings. So a nice little new budding rivalry in the city of Philadelphia. If you haven't checked out our preview show, we had Brett Manny from New England and Chris Collins from the Wings on the show to kind of break it down, and it was really fun to talk to those guys, so make sure you check that out. Make sure you're subscribed to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, SoundCloud. Help grow the pod. Help us get on that top 200 chart on the Apple Podcasts. You need 5-star reviews, ratings, listens, all that good stuff. So help us climb those charts. We'll have a post-game show for you from the Wells Fargo Center tonight with myself and Brooke Destra, and we'll have another post-game show tomorrow because the Wings have a back-to-back weekend with myself and Herm, but that one's from the studio because they'll be in New England tomorrow. But stay tuned for those, and shout out to Mikey for pumping out these goal line fantasy football off-season podcasts. He's killing that, so make sure you're listening to that. Make sure you're following Goal Line on Twitter. And I think that's going to wrap things up for this edition of Underground Sports Philadelphia. Shout out to our sponsors, Main Auto LLC, Hoffman Farms and Greenhouses, Ducharme's Pro Foot, Security 21, Wainwright Bernhardt Funeral Home, and Paul J. Gillespie Incorporated. This has been episode number 107. For Dylan, for Matt, I'm Kyle. We are signing off from Underground Studios. Peace.
Bye.
I like looking at this website. Because it'll...